Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. When I was 19, we went on a mission trip to Mexico. There are numerous places in Mexico, despite it being the second largest Catholic country in the world, that don't see a priest for months on end. They do not have many priests. And their children go unbaptized, they don't receive communion and everything. It's a problem. And as part of that mission, we went into the little villages around Monterrey. And at one of the villages, we were invited to lunch at a family's home, the priest, and I think we were about like a dozen seminarians. And they served us homemade goat meat tacos. And they were decent. But one guy was complaining. He's like, "This is bad. I don't like it," and everything. And the priest pulled him aside and whispered some things in his ear. And the guy got paid and then joined the table and shut up. And then we got back on in the van. We were in a big van, and the priest told us all that family owned 3 goats. They slaughtered one to feed you. How dare you complain? They were that honored to have a priest and seminarians come to their home, and you complained about their sacrifice? How dare you? I didn't, so I was fine, and I was just looking at him like, you see how it is, right? But I will never forget that day. It was just such a shock to me. First of all, because I knew the priest and I knew all the seminarians, and we did not deserve a goat. But secondly, just living at that level, I guess, as an American, had never really dawned on me fully. And the reason I bring this up is because, and I'll circle back to this at the end of the homily, but I want to look at the father whose sacrifice is not a fattened calf, but the fattened calf. He had exactly one. And yet that's how honored he was to welcome back his son. And when I read that, I just thought about that goat. So let's talk about these two sons here, because the Lord in his goodness has given me a parable where the two sons explicitly represent the two capital sins that I was going to talk about this weekend. Actually, I wasn't going to talk about them, and then I saw that this was the gospel and I switched some things around. I'm like, yes! Fantastic. So, the two capital sins we're going to talk about this weekend are greed and envy, and each son represents one. So greed is that twisted desire to possess, right? And it is very twisted in the younger son. Biblical scholars teach, and I've talked to people who say this is still going on in many cultures today, that if you go to your father and ask for half your inheritance, that's a mortal insult. You're wishing him dead. Okay? Whereas now today, kids just ask for that to go to college. But the reality is, right, in that society, you were saying, "I wish you were dead." And yet his father still gives him half his possessions, which is kind of difficult because his father's still running a business, still has a family. I mean, if you lost half your possessions, that would be rough. And the son just goes away. And he goes to a foreign country, and then he practices prodigality. We don't use this word a lot anymore, so we hear the prodigal son and we just attach it to him. But prodigality is an older word that means wastefulness. He spends half his father's property, it seems, in under a year. Right? He just pours it all out. And that's horrifying. And so we see that idea of greed, that twisted desire to possess. You know, one of the most famous passages that's misquoted in Scripture is, "Money is the root of all evil," and that is in fact not what St. Paul says. He says, "The love of money is a root of all evil," meaning explicitly, it's one of the 7 capital sins. The other 6 are also roots of all evil. Right? The love of money is a root of all evil. So there is a great twistedness that comes from greed. And it can either lead to prodigality, as we see in the son, or it could lead to miserliness. So it's the difference between just spending everything and wasting everything, or hoarding everything. And connected to that is a sin that we don't talk enough about in the church today. There are lots of sins we don't talk enough about. Because you never commit them, it's perfectly fine. No, the sin is luxury. And luxury is the sin of owning more than you need. Now, need in this case does not mean bread and water need, right? You don't have to live off of day-old bread and Vienna sausages. It's legitimate need. What clothes do I need to do my job and to be presentable? Do I need a vehicle? Do I need a phone? That sort of stuff. But I know, growing up, certainly, I was taught to save some, but with my disposable income, I was never taught that there was any moral limit on that. If I had disposable income, I could just spend it if I wanted. And that's not what the church teaches. Right? Spend it if you need it. But as a great saint said, I think it's Augustine, look at what you have, take what you need, and then realize that the rest was given to you to be given away, so that you can imitate God and His generosity. Look at what you have, take what you need, legitimately need. You don't need to be crazy. Do you need some form of relaxation? Absolutely. All kinds of these things. Do you need three camps? Probably not. Look at what you have, take what you need, and realize the rest was given to you to be given away, so that you can imitate God and His goodness. So that's the first one, is greed. The second son practices envy. And I want to be clear about envy, because when church talks about envy, she's being very precise, but in English, we flip it around a lot. We tend to use envy interchangeably with jealousy. Envy and jealousy are not the same thing at all. Jealousy is a kind of greed. I want what you have. Okay? You look at me and you're like, Father, since that, I am jealous of your physique. I understand it's difficult to live this way, but I get it. But envy is, I don't want you to have what you have. So think about any little kid at an awards program at their school. Somebody else gets the award. On one level, they're like, man, I wish I got that award. But on the other level, they're like, really? That boy, that girl, they don't deserve that. That's envy. And that's what we see today in the elder son. Huh? Seriously? Your son wasted half your property. And for him, you're going to give him more? You're going to slaughter the fattened calf? Seriously? The other part of envy, horrible as it is not only do you get angry when somebody else gets something good, you get happy when they get something bad. And that's an ugly emotion. It's an ugly sin. It becomes more than an emotion very quickly. And you may say, oh, that has no place in my heart. I certainly see it a lot on Facebook. When, say, your political party that you don't like, or somebody in Hollywood or something bad happens to them, got what they deserved. There's a rejoicing in the suffering of others. And that's envy. Thank God I never got what I deserved, because I wouldn't be a priest today. Thank God. Also, thank God I grew up before YouTube. But thank God that I never got what I deserved. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we see these two sons representing these two sins, greed and envy, and they're both terrible.
And Jesus, this is one of the most straightforward parables that Jesus ever gives. I mean, he's doing it the entire time. He didn't wear glasses, but he's doing it the entire time like this, right? Because the whole point is who he's gathered around him. Tax collectors and sinners on the one hand, younger son. Pharisees and scribes on the other, elder son. Clear as day that this is what it means. But then who's the father? God, of course. And the beautiful thing about the father is he doesn't choose between the two sons. His first son wished him dead and stole half his property, and he's welcome to the table. His second son, or the second son of the parable, his older son, sat there and yelled at him in front of everybody and embarrassed him and castigated him, and he was still welcome to the table. Come and rejoice with me. Your brother was lost and has been found. Dear brothers and sisters, the horrifying thing, and it's a beautiful thing, but it should be horrifying to us, is that a family was willing to sacrifice a goat for the sake of the sacraments and seminarians, God is willing to sacrifice his son for sinners. He is so desirous of the honor of having sinners at his table that he sacrifices his only begotten son. That's incredible. And it's also our only hope. Because whether it be these two sins or the five capital sins we've talked about before this, we're all sinners. None of us have a right to sit at that table. And yet, not only does he tolerate our presence, he actively seeks it out. Runs down the road to embrace us. Is willing to argue with us in front of everybody. Just come, just come. Whatever insult you throw at me, it doesn't matter. Just come. Come share in the feast. Come share in the joy. Come experience your Father's love. Dear brothers and sisters, that's the joy of Lent. As much as I've made you miserable for 4 weeks talking about the capital sins, this is the final chapter. Our sins are real and our sins are horrible, and God's mercy is greater. Do not think that you're so far gone that he won't run down the road to meet you. Do not be upset that he seems to give his gifts to others, but never to you. We're all welcome. We have to repent. But should we do so, we're all welcome. And that's the good news of the mercy of God. God bless you all.